KSN 1290. It's Santa Lucia Pizza Game Day on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on the official home of the Winnipeg Jets. KSN 1290. Now, here's Drew, Richard, and Ezra.
Y'all ready for this?
Good morning, Winnipeg. Good morning, Manitoba, and for all those joining us online, good morning, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined in studio by my good friend, Richard Pollock, and we don't know where Ezzy is. As usual, 8 a.m. is just too early for Ezzy. We have no clue where he is, but I believe Richard has a breaking news update as to what his status may be.
Well, I got a text from Ezzy. It's time stamped 12:25 a.m.
on okay.
BlackBerry Messenger.
Not terribly late.
Not terribly late.
I was up at 12:25 a.m. You were up at 12:25 a.m.
The text said, there's two texts at that same time. One said, where are you? Even though he knew I was at the same location as him and knew he went home. The second said, I'm drunk.
So you think that the I'm drunk maybe may sort of give us some evidence as to where Ezzy is at the moment.
We have a little bit of a backstory.
Okay.
About the celebration last night.
Of course. A friend of ours.
Using the term loosely.
Yeah, the term friend, you know, an acquaintance, a comrade.
A person we speak to if we saw on the street.
Yeah. Won the lottery. He won the lottery.
Yep.
So he threw a bit of a party.
He did.
You know? Some nice hors d'oeuvres, some dainties,
some sake bombs,
some sake bombs. It was yeah.
So the question is, where is Ezzy?
It's a good question because he's not here.
He hasn't received my text I sent him an hour and a half ago.
Well, you know, we've been up since about what time do you wake up? I set my alarm for about 6:15.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, so you know, we've been up, we've been planning, we got our coffees, we're bright eyed, we're bushy tailed. No idea where Ezzy is.
He hasn't even received the text that I sent.
It could be a long show without Ezzy this morning. But fortunately, we have him here in spirit.
We do.
And so throughout the show, what we're going to do is we're going to read, do a dramatic reading of the various tweets that Ezzy has sent from his Twitter account over the last, 12 hours or so.
Now, are those timestamped too?
They are timestamped, not specific.
Okay.
But they give you about a range of about 6 hours ago.
Can I get a sample?
Well, 6 hours ago.
So, three in the morning. Two in the morning.
6 hours ago, Ezzy at JM_Kilger at MMartin. I'm about to head to the at Green Room 108. I see Ezzy G at MMartin. Also, 6 hours ago. Are you breaking up with me? They're not dating. So it's going to be frankly, until Ezzy shows up, we're going to have a lot of fun at his expense.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you wouldn't expect it any other way on this program. But we do have an action-packed show for you, aside from the Ezzy fun. Coming up at 9:30 this morning from the Globe and Mail, Bruce Daubigan is going to join us. He's a great writer, does a lot about sports media. He's been on the show numerous times, so we're thrilled to have him on.
That's probably one of the most interesting perspectives provided within the Globe and Mail, which is a great paper, is Bruce Daubigan's sports media column.
Yeah, I look forward to it three times a week. I look forward to it. Coming up at 10 a.m., he's been our number one guest over the years, so the Jets Flyers play today at 2 o'clock. You couldn't have a show without having him on. He's Anthony Sanfilippo. He's going to join us at 10 a.m. this morning. Always honest, always a great guest.
We've had him on recently, and the truth of the matter is there's always something to talk about in Flyerland.
That's right. And that was the case long before there was an NHL team back in Winnipeg.
That's right.
He was always on. And coming up at 10:30 this morning, we saw them on Thursday, and then we see them again this coming Wednesday. They're the Washington Capitals. So we have Neil Greenberg of ESPN Insider and the Washington Post on. He's going to delve deep into the psyche that is the Washington Capitals.
And it's that team right now, as it's always, it seems like they almost always are fairly fragile.
Yeah, that's a good word for them. I would say mentally,
you wonder what's there, and
especially after that performance on Thursday.
It wasn't a very spirited performance by any means. At the same time, Drew, and we get caught up sometimes in the passion of the game, and it's 2-1. The Jets are up on Thursday morning. Thursday evening. It's 2-1. The Jets are up on a power play. And it ends up that they give up a 2-on-0 on their power play to Jeff Halpern and Brooks Lake. And Brooks Lake misses the net and goes the other way, and Blake Wheeler scores. So it's amazing how that the tide can turn on just one sequence of events.
Well, I went to Thursday's game as a fan for the first time this year, so that was a great experience. I mean, I haven't been as a fan at the Winnipeg Jets game in obviously 15 or so years, but it was just, it was just a ton of fun up there, you know, in my season seats and everything else, and just get to sit back and watch the game as a fan and, you know, cheer and everything else, and then not have to worry about any of the other, the usual decorum that we have to follow up in the press box.
Well, yeah, you know, as
yeah, wearing pants primarily is decorum as far as I'm concerned.
Ezzy crushing popcorn bags.
Ezzy has actually set a new record for popcorn eating up in the press box. In fact, I hear that True North is going to start to charge for the popcorn just because of Ezra. Let's look back last night in the NHL here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, Santa Lucia Pizza Game Day on TSN 1290. Puck drop 2 o'clock this afternoon, Jets Flyers pregame, or Hustler and Lawless right after us at 11 a.m. I'll tell you what, if Hustler can be up for 11 a.m., Ezzy can be up for 8 a.m.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean,
you see that, Hustler is a little bit of, he's Ezzy's mentor, whether or not Hustler knows that.
That's true.
And Hustler needs to show Ezzy how to, drink like a champ and then play like a champ the next morning.
Party hard, work hard.
Yeah, that's right. Party hard, but be there, play through the pain and show up on time. That's all I'm saying. And Huss is an expert on that.
Huss is great.
Yeah, of course, his pain still exists at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't, who knows about that? It's a good thing they don't do the morning show on TSN 1290.
By the way.
Yeah.
You're likely going to be venturing in to fill those seats.
We are. The Illegal Curve Hockey Show takes over from Troy and Jay between Christmas and New Year's. 5:30 a.m. 0% chance as he shows up for those shows.
Yeah, he can't make 8 o'clock.
Yeah, 0% chance. Pretty much, it's going to be 3.5 hours of the Drew Mandel Show.
Oh boy,
which means the station's probably getting its license pulled within about an hour of me being on air.
Oh yeah,
yeah. There's no chance. There's no chance around that. Definitely. Last night in Carolina, the struggles for the Carolina Hurricanes continue, and we'll talk about them coming up in the next segment or so. Buffalo went into Carolina, beat them 1-0. Just really a bad start to the season in Carolina. Things aren't working well.
You know, Drew, one of the weaknesses they have on this team, obviously the goaltending hasn't been great, is their defense. And I thought they'd be a surprise team in the sense that I thought their defense and their puck-moving ability would allow them their transition game to get going, and they'd be spending less time in their own zone and not have to worry as much about, their lack of defensive ability, really, from their defensive core, whether it be Thomas Carrelly or players like that. Now, I think it was yesterday, Darren Dreger reported that they'd be willing to trade Thomas Carrelly. Well, if you were willing to sign Thomas Carrelly, we aren't privy to the negotiations, but if nobody was willing to give Carrelly the contract that Carolina got, and we probably should assume that he went to the highest bidder, why would somebody suddenly take that contract on? So that's a question that needs to be asked. And why would you sign a guy? It's very odd in the sense that why would you sign a guy, Drew, you think makes a lot of sense in July and August or the summer period? You've played just under 20 games or 20 games, and then you're willing to trade him? I mean, I always wonder about the grand plan and the scheme of things there. And Jimmy Rutherford knows what he's doing, don't get me wrong. And maybe he's not available. But if he is available, then what was the plan? And what has changed so significantly over the last 20 games? And is that a scouting issue?
It's just, from my perspective, it's just desperate times call for desperate measures. Now, I don't think that's the answer.
Right.
And frankly, you look at this roster, and...
Well, Eric Staal has been brutal.
Yeah, he's been awful. I mean, we saw the Hurricanes here earlier this year, and, you look at their talents up front. You have to figure Eric Staal is going to turn it on again.
Yeah.
But when you have a core that's being built by Eric Staal and Jeff Skinner... And you have Cam Ward behind you in net. And Cam Ward is one of the perennially underappreciated goaltenders in this league.
Yes.
A guy who could very well be starting for Team Canada in Sochi if the NHL ends up going there. You look at that. You got a good core there. Most teams would trade for that core.
For sure.
They'd say, So I don't know what it is. Maybe it's... through there, but give it a little bit of time to breathe, I think.
In the big scheme of things, Drew, another thing that's been an issue for them and has contributed to their lack of maybe progress is the lack of development, I'd say, of guys like Drayson Bowman and Zach Boychuk. They expected these guys to be second and third liners by this point, and they're not. And there's talent there. I'm surprised that they haven't progressed as quickly. They've developed at such a slow pace because... you know, the Canes have a I think the fourth lowest salary cap hit in the league this year. They're not paying a lot of money for their players. They have a pretty young team. They built the team on speed, and when the skill and speed isn't going, that's obviously going to be an issue. And of course, you know, they've been letting in a lot of goals, and they haven't been getting good performances from their top players. So there's many factors here that go into this team not performing.
Carolina's 6-11-3 on the season through 20 games, 15 points, second last in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
They've given up 68 goals, which is tied with Ottawa for the most in the NHL.
And Ottawa...
And if you had told me that Cam Ward-backed the team would have given up 68 goals so far... Those numbers, they're not going to hold. They're not going to give up that. They're not going to give up, you know, more than 3 goals a game on average.
No, of course, those numbers aren't going to hold. But, you know, the question is, how do they go about rectifying that? And is that the percentage is obviously going to start swaying in their favor. But even so, you also need to have your big guys going like Eric Staal. So, I mean, percentages are against them right now.
Yeah.
But you don't want to beat Carolina in such a hole that even if the percentages are against you are going to bounce back, it's too late anyways.
That's right. 2-8 in their last 10.
Yeah.
But
That's tough in this league to be that bad.
Yeah, it really is, given all the 3-point games and everything else.
And that's something I quickly want to get into, the fact that, you know, the Jets are this points out. Every team in the league is 6 points out in the middle of February.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody gets a point for everything here, so I don't want people to get too discouraged or encouraged, really.
That's true. It's very true, exactly. It's far too early. And that's what the NHL's parody did, is they made everybody competitive all the way through middle of March, at least.
Yeah, because they want to keep every market interested. Oh, this team is leading the division out here on TV. Who cares?
Yeah,
exactly. You kidding me? That's so early. Well, it's 4 points between first and last in the division, and there's game differentials that they've played.
Yeah, exactly. Stop talking about standings until the middle of March, at least. In Colorado last night, you know, that Avs continue to perform pretty well. They defeated a very good Dallas Stars team 3-0.
Yeah, the question is, and we talked about it last week, can Dallas withstand the loss of Kowalski?
Yeah.
That's a huge loss on the back end. And they've also lost...
TSN 1290 is taking you to court.
To court. Apparently, what do we do? Did Ezzy
do we have to go bail Ezzy out? Is that what that?
Ezzy get arrested?
About? Is Ezzy gone? Is he in the can? Is he in the clink? Dallas. Anyway.
So I mean, Drew, that is a that's something to obviously keep a close eye on, and they've obviously outperformed their expectations so far.
Yeah.
A Colorado team is so young that they're going to be very volatile. A lot of young talent there, but they definitely are going to have their days where they look great and days where they look brutal.
Exactly. Good win for the Calgary Flames on home ice last night. 5-2, they beat the Chicago Blackhawks.
They outplayed them.
They outplayed them. And anytime you can outplay Chicago, you're doing something right.
That's exactly right, Drew. I mean, this team, Brent Sutter was happy after the game, and rightfully so. They played arguably the best team in the National Hockey League, and they handled them. And Calgary's getting going. Curtis Glencross, one of another perennially underappreciated players, had a terrific performance, 2 goals and an assist. And, you know, Calgary has to outwork you. And, I mean, honestly, there's not a lot of talent there. They need, obviously, strong goaltending, but they need to outwork you and they need to get Jerome McGinley going.
Exactly right. So that was a quiet night in the NHL last night. Only 3 games, of course. Before we head to commercial break, and that time for another dramatic reading of the Twitter page of our missing dear friend, Ezra Ginsberg. Ezzy Ginsberg, at HartJacob66, at Air_Deli, 6 hours ago, in entirely capital letters, karaoke. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290.
It's Santa Lucia Pizza Game Day on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on the official home of the Winnipeg Jets. TSN 1290.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined in studio by Richard Pollock. There's an empty chair in our hearts. And that chair belongs to Ezra Ginsberg because we don't know where he is.
No clue where Ezzy is.
None whatsoever. Time for another dramatic reading of a message from Ezzy. Last night, 10:05 p.m. on BBM to yours truly. Where you? Seconds later. See you tomorrow morning early, brah. I guess early means something different between my understanding and Ezzy's understanding.
Ezzy, what do you think of the Jets on Thursday?
It's about as concise as he's ever been.
Ezra's never sounded better.
Exactly. Welcome back to the program. Let's spend some time going around the NHL. Busy week. Sure. The season's really underway. You know, 20 games in, people are lots of chatter. You know, this season's really, you know, the growing pains from the early part of the season have passed now. And I want to start with Mark Recchi's comments about the Vancouver Canucks. I thought those were sort of very interesting because I definitely sort of agree with him.
Yeah.
In what he said. I just got to pull him up here. Pretty much he said that the... that the Canucks were the most arrogant team he's ever played against, which I thought were, was certainly a bold comment. I mean, mm-hmm. Recchi, of course, retired after the
Cup win.
After the Cup win last year, so he's been around the NHL for a long time. Sure. So when Mark Recchi, who's not the type to usually spout off, says something along those lines, you know that he has there's something to be said for what he's saying. In the course of his tweet, he played 22 years. Here's the direct quote. In 22 years, they are the most arrogant team I played against and the most hated team I've ever played against, Recchi told CBS Radio in Boston. I couldn't believe their antics. They're falling and diving. It was very frustrating, but at the same time, as the series wore on and we knew we were getting to them and we knew our physical play and our skating, I think it caught them off guard a little bit. We played Vancouver late in the season, and it was a good game, but I had no doubts that if it came down to a seven-game series, we would be the team that would be the champion, right? He said this to CBS Radio in Boston. Mm-hmm. This hatred that the Canucks have, that teams really around the NHL seem to have for the Canucks, is that work to their benefit in any way?
In what sense?
I'm saying I don't think it does. I mean, I don't think it does work to their benefit. I think that teams get more... geared up to play against the Canucks simply because they're so despised league-wide.
I think so. They have guys like LaPierre and guys like Burrows who talk a lot, dive a lot, do a lot of things that that don't endear themselves to the opposing team. Drew, I think also there is an arrogance there and a little bit of holier than thou kind of mentality. They're also. With that arrogance, I think it's kind of like the classic case of the insecure person who's is arrogant to cover up that insecurity. And I think what it is that Canucks have never won, and so they spout off like this. And I think what Mark Recchi's trying to say there is that once you push them, you see their true colors.
Sure. And like punching the not the bully, but when you punch the bully in the mouth,
that's right.
It generally runs away.
And he's not the only person to say it. If you remember Ryan Whitney last year on Twitter calling the team out, I can't stand the Canucks, saying something to the effect of I cannot stand this Canucks team, and most can't. You get a lot of guys, Ryan Kessler, for all he's done, he's certainly accomplished a lot. People remember the interview he gave in the second intermission of the Canada-U.S. Olympic game. Pretty cocky for a guy who's never won anything.
Yeah.
And so people don't like that. People don't like, I said, mentioned before, LaPierre and Burrows. People like the Sedins, but don't like that they'll stand there and take six punches from Brad Marchand. That Henrik will.
It's mind-boggling that anybody would stand there and take six punches and not turn around and slug the guy.
Of course. And so all those factors play into it about why they're hated.
Yeah.
And Mark Recchi's played 22 years in the league. If in all of his 22 years, this is the most annoying and arrogant team he's seen, well, I'll take his word for it.
Yeah, it's not like this. And Mark Recchi's not a Johnny-come-lately.
No.
When Mark Recchi speaks about something in the NHL, you tend to listen to him.
Yeah.
Simply because, well, he's Mark Recchi. And if you can last 22 years and you, I mean, how many cups did he end up
three,
with?
Three, I think.
Three, four?
He won one with Pittsburgh in his rookie year, Carolina in 2006.
And then Boston,
and then Boston
last year.
2011.
Well, three cups, 22 years. Well, that's a guy I'm going to listen to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Illegal Curve. The website, of course, is www.illegalcurve.com. You're listening to Santa Lucia Pizza Game Day here on TSN 1290. Jets Flyers gets underway at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Hustler and Lawless following us at 11. They're Rick Ralph with the official Jets pregame show at 1 o'clock.
By the time Ezzy gets here, it's going to be Hustler, Lawless, and Ezzy.
Yeah, exactly. He's just going to sit in with them. I would listen to a show with Gary and Ezzy on for 2 hours, no question asked.
Just talk about sandwich all the time.
Well, the way those two banter... That's some good bantering. And there's a lot of sandwich talk there. Let's go. I want to, last week it happened after we got off the air.
Sure.
It's a little bit old now, but it's still relevant. Milan Lucic is hit on Ryan Miller.
Yeah, that was a dirty hit, Drew.
100%. You won't get an argument.
And as the GMs are saying, I think a general consensus, you have to protect the goaltenders. I mean, if a goalie's out there, he's not...
Was it a suspendable? Should it have been suspended?
Yes, and I think it should have been suspended for one game. You know, not 10 games, one game. He didn't, he hit him. But it wasn't a cross-check to the head. It wasn't a slash, something like that. You suspend him just to suspend a player for doing something like that, just to say you've been suspended. You can't do nothing. And then you do nothing, and then it's free reign after. Right. And then that's what's going to happen. If another guy hits him the exact same way, how do you suspend that guy? This is the problem that Colin Campbell got into with precedence.
Yeah.
He wouldn't do it one time, and how could he do it the next time? And then he would explain, well, you know, in the precedent sets out, or in the past, we haven't suspended for those things, so how can we now? That's why you start with a strict hand and you try and work within that.
That's right. I mean, if you don't suspend him, at what point can you suspend a guy for running the goaltender?
That's right.
I mean, you have to hit him really high and really late. Well, I mean, Lucic knew exactly what he was doing.
He absolutely knew what he was doing, Drew. And should goalies be playing the puck out that far? To be honest with you, if they do, it generally probably increases offense. They're not fair game. They shouldn't be fair game.
No. And they never have been considered fair game.
So I don't know why suddenly they would be considered fair game.
That's exactly right. What I find even more astounding is that nobody on Buffalo... Yeah. I mean...
Nobody. And Paul Gostad, who's 6'5", 230 pounds, doesn't even go after Lucic. Even to take the beating to at least, you know, represent your goaltender, to stick up for him, to improve on team morale. Because you have some new players in that organization now. None of that was done. That says a lot about the team. And back to what we were speaking about before with Vancouver and Boston. Boston, we're talking about Boston again. They're pushing their opponent, and look how the opponent's responding.
Well,
what do you think they get out of that, and what do you think the opponent gets out of that?
There's no way that this doesn't carry over, that Ryan Miller doesn't have some sort of... He doesn't walk into the dressing room at some point and say to his guys, what the... I just got run.
Run by probably the biggest, most powerful guy in the National Hockey League.
That's right.
At full speed.
That's right. I mean, he's not getting run by Kyle Wellwood, with all due respect to Kyle Wellwood. Yeah. But, I mean, Lucic is coming at you. Lucic is taking out your goaltender. I mean, Miller's out with a concussion now.
Yeah.
And you know, all the Sabres are doing afterwards. I mean, Lindy Ruff said it best. The Sabres are complaining about it afterwards. Lindy Ruff says, you know, Paul Gostad's complaining about it. He was on the ice.
That's right.
He was on the ice. You know, you go after Lucic. I don't care if all five of the guys on the ice swarm him.
And doesn't this go back? Doesn't this point back to Mark Howe's analysis on Saturday night? On Hockey Night in Canada last week, they had the four Hall of Famers. Who we'll talk about.
No, they had three Hall of Famers and a homeless guy, apparently.
They had Belfour. You're referencing Belfour's attire.
Yeah.
They had Belfour. They had Eddie Belfour, Joe Nieuwendyk, Doug Gilmour, and Mark Howe. And he talked to Mark Howe, Ron McLean did, about the way the game is these days. And basically what Mark Howe said was, you know, things like this, like the Lucic, would have been taken care of on the ice. And I think that he's absolutely right. And I think, you know, further to that point, Drew, what's happened here is teams are so hesitant to stick up for guys because of the effects of a penalty, because they've been programmed to let Shanahan do it for them.
Right.
At some point, you need to leave it in the player's hands, and at some point, you need to intervene. But that's a fine line, and I think what happened there, Buffalo let that get in the way. And that does affect team morale.
I'm not saying they have to skate after him like the Johnstown Chiefs in Slapshot and try and take the guy's head off.
No, you don't have to do
but
that.
You have to swarm him, and you have to, you know, put your glove in his face and, you know, give him a face wash at the very least.
Well, even Milan Lucic said, I would have, you know, we would have responded differently.
Oh, how could Boston have any respect for Buffalo as an opponent going forward now? Boston's got to know, look, we can punch these guys around and they're not going to do anything. How do you not fight them later on in the game? How does somebody not put a two-hand of, not two-hand them in the back of the shins?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a code. The code is you run your goalie, you're going to get beat up, as you should.
You run any player, really, but especially the goalie.
Especially the goalie. It's been pretty cut and dry.
Especially
you hit the goaltender,
goalie,
you expect you're going to get hit back.
Especially the goalie, especially a goalie of that quality.
Yeah, one of the best goaltenders in the league. I mean, off to a bad start this year, but certainly if you went through the GMs, top five, definitely.
And even more importantly for Buffalo, especially a goalie of that quality who's had the confidence struggles that Miller has had.
That's right.
You're only exacerbating the problems by not sticking up for him.
Exactly right, and it doesn't make any sense on Buffalo's part to have done what they did, which is nothing. And there will be long-term ramifications for this.
Well, I'm interested to see what happens next time. But even so, Drew, it does say a lot about the team. And if you need prompting to stick up for a teammate, that does say a lot about you. I agree with that.
Terry Pegula must have been sick watching that.
Yeah, likely.
Lindy Ruff must have been. Lindy Ruff played a lot of years in the NHL.
Yeah.
And he didn't play because he was a tremendously graceful player. He played on guile and aggression and everything else.
Sure, this is a skill team. This isn't his 1999 Buffalo team.
No, but you got guys on that team who can. Paul Gostad's a big boy.
Yeah, Robin Regier.
Yeah.
Paul Gostad. Drew Stafford's no fighter, but he's a big boy. So they have guys.
He's a pest, but Coletta. I mean, it's a mismatch, but somebody's got to do something.
McCormick, all these guys.
There is some muscle there that you're not going to expect Ville Leino to drop him, but somebody's got to make a little bit of a point to.
You can drop that much money on Ville Leino, but don't expect Ville Leino to drop anything.
Trust me, I have him on my fantasy team this year. He hasn't been very good, let me tell you. Before we head to commercial break, another dramatic tweet from the Twitter account of @ICSEG. We have no idea where he is. He's now 30 minutes late. Do you think he makes it before 11 o'clock?
10:30 I got him at.
You got him at 10:30?
Yeah.
This is 14 hours ago from @ICSEG, and it's ironic. Don't forget to listen to the @IllegalCurve Hockey Show tomorrow, 8 a.m. Central through 11 a.m. Central, with guests @DowBboy, that's Bruce Dowbiggin, @AnthonySan37, that's Anthony Sanfilippo, and @NGreenberg, that's Neil Greenberg. So he promoted us, but he isn't here to do it. Let's go to break. You're listening to Santa Lucia Pizza Game Day on TSN 1290. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined in studio by my good friend Richard Pollock, missing in action Ezra Ginsberg, and we'll have more dramatic tweets from the Twitter account of @ICSEG coming up. You can follow us on Twitter @IllegalCurve. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And, of course, the website is www.IllegalCurve.com. This is Santa Lucia Pizza Game Day. Jets Flyers gets underway. A matinee performance, 2 o'clock this afternoon. Hustler and Lawless follow us at 11 o'clock. Then our good friend Rick Ralph joins us for the pregame show at 1, at which point in time Ezzy may roll out of bed.
Ezzy who?
That's right. Is he done?
We need more tweets from him.
Yeah. Another dramatic tweet?
Yeah, do a dramatic reading.
Okay, another dramatic reading from the Twitter account of the missing @ICSEG. ICSEG @LaurenAlexandra. Come to karaoke. This was 8 hours ago. Obviously, she responded and said, where? Because ICSEG @LaurenAlexandra. Across the street from Billabong.
Last we heard of him.
He might still be there.
He could still be there.
He might be passed out there.
He might be.
If anybody goes to karaoke tonight and sees a shirtless, hairy sort of guy wearing an illegal curved toque, send him our way. Point him in the beacon of the A&W and we'll find him. Let's talk about Jeff Carter.
Sure.
And let's talk about the Columbus Blue Jackets.
So it's a mess.
It is a mess. The Blue Jackets, of course, managed to defeat our Winnipeg Jets last Saturday, but that does seem like about a year ago, given the last two performances of our Jets, and we'll talk about that in our Jets Week in Review segment coming up. Do you believe that Jeff Carter has requested a trade out of Columbus despite denials?
What Bob McKenzie says is that he hasn't maybe formally requested a trade, but he's open to it and isn't the happiest guy there. So,
do you think he would have been open to that trade the 5 minutes after he was traded there this summer?
Likely, Drew. I don't think he's happy there at all. I don't think he ever wanted to go there. I don't think he's ever going to convince himself that he wants to go there. Maybe winning would have cured
what ails him.
But yeah. Unfortunately,
much like coffee will cure whatever hangover ails Ezzy.
That's exactly right. But I mean, what, they're 3-13 now?
Yeah, they are by far the worst team in the NHL. 3-13-2.
Yeah, 3-13.
Don't forget those two.
And they're done. Like, it's over.
Yeah, like there's no, so they're not coming back. I mean, we saw it with the Devils last year. It's just too big of a hole to dig yourself out of.
Too big of a hole. And what happens now is they play 30 more games at home in front of 7,000 fans. I mean, if you were a Columbus fan, would you pay to watch that?
No.
7,000 fans, you're not in Philly. He's likely going to want out. Now, the issue is if you do trade him and you don't want a negative influence in the locker room, you have to get at least what you give up for him, which is Jakub Voracek, who's played quite well, and we'll ask Anthony Sanfilippo about him later.
Yeah.
And Sean Couturier, the 7th overall pick, which is Sean Couturier, or the 8th overall pick, which is Sean Couturier. So,
do you think, is there any way they can get that for him, though?
Probably, but
destinations, then.
The question also is, do you want to spend the money? Do you want to spend the money knowing you're going to be bad? Or have they allotted enough money this year to... Oh, Is there
No, it's my father asking where Ezra is. He's inquiring if Ezzy's going to be docked pay for today's absence.
Yeah, oh yeah, he will be.
Yeah, I mean, he's also going to have to shovel our driveways.
Yes, he'll be docked bagels.
Bagels, yeah. We pay in bagels here.
You know, Drew, where would he go? I don't know if they're actually going to... Can Scott Housen trade him? That's a bigger question. Can Scott Housen admit that it didn't work this quickly and Jeff Carter wanted out? Probably not. If I'm Scott Housen, first of all, do I even have the power to make a trade like that again?
Not based on the 3-13-2 record, not without consulting with ownership.
Not based on the fact that you just acquired this guy, you probably convinced ownership to take on the salary,
yeah.
And now now he doesn't even want to be there anymore.
Especially when you see Voracek and Couturier playing. I mean, I know they have to win now, but this team seems like they would be better off with Couturier and Voracek than they would be with Jeff Carter. And if you trade him, I think it's a death knell for the franchise.
Where does that franchise go from here? I mean, they haven't been as bad as their record indicates. I mean, no team in the NHL is really that bad. They've obviously got a little bit of bad luck, but their defense is not very good.
And their goaltending. I mean, but all this talk that the reason they're struggling so much is because they haven't had Carter and Wisniewski in the lineup together. No. That's bunk.
Well, because Wisniewski is an overrated defenseman.
Yeah.
Jeff Carter is a good center.
Yeah.
Really good center. But how many times have I said in the show I didn't think him and Nash would be a good combination? It's a contrast in styles, Drew. And lots of times people say two good players and they say they will work together because they're great. They're both great. That's not how it works.
No.
Chemistry is something that you can't quantify. And you put two guys together, and I said many times they're both shooters. They're both like the puck on their stick.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that combination will work. Well,
Couturier is a center, right?
Yes.
So, I mean... And what does Rick Nash need more than anything?
A center now. Is he the kind of center that Rick Nash needs? Could he be able to play first line competition? Because he's playing really like fourth line and penalty kill him.
Obviously. I'm not saying this year necessarily.
Long term, I agree with you.
Yeah.
And you know what the other issue is, Drew? Arbitrary deadlines placed upon teams by either their ownership or their management.
Like saying you have to do this by such a date? Or you have to be a playoff team even if they're... I mean... Saying that to Scott Housen, and I'm not saying this happened, but saying to any general manager, you must be a playoff team this year.
Exactly.
Well, you know, that's all nice and good, but A, does that fit into the actual long-term plan?
Right.
B, is there a long-term plan in Columbus? Because yes. I'm not sure that there is or not. And C, how does that help the team? If they're not a playoff team, look, if Mark Shipman came to Kevin Cheveldayoff and said, you must be a playoff team this year, well, you know, Cheveldayoff would obviously listen, but he'd probably think to himself, well, you know, I want to be competitive, and I'd like to be a playoff team, but deep down, the Jets right now probably are not built to be a playoff team.
And that's why the structure of an organization and the success of an organization is from the top down. And that's now I always point to football, Pittsburgh Steelers, hockey, Detroit Red Wings. Prime examples of the entire organization working together and being on the same page. And clearly they're not on the same page in Columbus because the whole Hitchcock button rumors wouldn't have started if they were.
Right. And that's exactly. And that's the problem there is, I mean, you had Hitchcock hanging over there like the sword of Damocles. I mean, it seems like, do Arneil and Housen get the rest of the year more or less now, maybe?
You can't fire Arneil. If you're Housen, you can't go through another coach.
They won't let Housen fire Arneil. It's going to be like what happened in Calgary last year, where Daryl Sutter wanted to fire his brother, and they said, "Sorry, Daryl, you've had enough chances. You're out. We're keeping the coach."
That's right.
I mean, and that would be the smart decision. I mean, I don't think Scott Arneil is the problem here. I mean,
this team hasn't played as well as it probably should have. But I don't think I don't think he's a problem. But if he is part of the problem, which he is, he's the coach.
Yeah.
He's a smaller part of the problem than is Scott Housen.
Do you think Scott Arneil, if you hooked him up to a lie detector and gave him truth serum, would say James Wisniewski is the answer to all of our problems?
Do you think Scott Arneil, if you put him up to a truth serum, would say I should have stayed in Manitoba for one more year?
Obviously, hindsight being 2020.
Yeah.
You're listening to Santa Lucia Pizza Game Day here on TSN 1290. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined in studio by Richard Pollock. Follow us on Twitter, @IllegalCurve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And if you've seen Ezra Ginsberg, please point him in the direction of the show. Going on about 40 minutes now and still no sign of him.
I got 10:30.
You got 10:30?
In the pool.
Yeah. Thinking that we are on at noon or thinking that we were on at 8?
It's a good question.
You know, does he know what time we start?
No. Well, he tweeted yesterday that we did.
Yeah, that's true, but... That's a lot of that was a lot of hours ago and a lot of drinks ago. So at as ICEZG at JM underscore Kilger 7 hours ago. So this that would put it about 20 to 2 in the morning. Where the party at? To which I would respond, where's the grammar at? But, yeah, that's our boy, Ezzy.
Are we going to talk Hall of Fame?
Yeah, let's talk Hall of Fame right now. We're going to do that next. You know, four worthy gentlemen were inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame on Monday. Ed Belfour, Doug Gilmour, Joe Nieuwendyk, and Mark Howe were the four inductees. I mean, you got to love Belfour. Belfour just doesn't give a damn.
No.
Just doesn't give a damn.
No.
He's always been that way. And, I mean, that's probably the chip on his shoulder is probably the size of a a massive rock. And that's probably what kept him in the league all these years. Because undrafted, never given a chance. And lo and behold, what do you...
And he won everything.
Yeah. Two-time Stanley Cup winner?
Two-time Stanley Cup winner. No, one-time
Dallas, right?
Stanley Cup winner, yeah.
Yeah.
Three-time finalist.
Yeah, three-time finalist. Won the Calder Trophy.
Won at UND.
Yeah.
He won, obviously, his Team Canada. He didn't play a game there, but...
Yeah, and that was...
2002.
To Salt Lake City, yeah.
He is probably one of the... You know, he wasn't a big guy. He was extremely disciplined, a very hard worker. And Drew Boyd, he had good positioning. It was positioning
I know you're not a goaltender expert, but if you looked at his skill set, was positioning his number one attribute?
Aside, you're talking about skill set? Yes,
yeah.
I think so, Drew.
Tangible always, as opposed to intangible. Because
yes,
I think his mindset was probably his number one skill
which
set.
Which is very important as a goaltender, but yes, his positioning was always so sound. His angles, everything. Like, he made you really have to beat him.
Yeah.
He made you have to make a great play to beat him. It wasn't on his mistakes. And obviously that goes to his intangibles, to his mental strength. But yeah, positionally he was as sound as it could be.
Yeah. And best part, when he showed up on Hockey Night in Canada last week, looking really like Ezzy's going to look like whenever he rolls into the studio here.
I liked it, actually.
Yeah.
You didn't like it? You like it? Or?
I mean, I'm more... It's odd. I'm typically not a conservative, but in that sort of thing, I think, well, you know, you should dress up and everything else.
Yeah.
But the other guys look sharp, fine tailored suits. He's wearing, jeans and a leather jacket and unshaven. Well, you know what? That's what got him there. So can't fault him.
He is what he is.
He is what he is. And he's been true to himself all the way through.
I found it interesting that Mark Howe played forward in the WHA before playing defense in the NHL.
Let's talk about... I don't think enough people appreciate Mark Howe because they may not have seen him as much. I mean, he's probably before our generation.
Yes. Yeah, he is.
What was he as a player?
They just said, I mean, I didn't get to see Mark Howe play. Played forward for a period of time. Great skater. You can't move from forward to defense and not be a great skater. Great awareness, puck movement. I mean, that's what everybody says, And also, Drew, let's talk about the fact that he played in his dad's shadow and had a Hall of Fame career. That is harder than just making it on your own.
Oh, yeah.
It really is.
Because
Gordie Howe, what Wayne Gretzky established Gordie Howe is to a generation before us.
Absolutely.
So that is just that says something about him, and he seemed to be extremely well-liked by his teammates as well. With respect to Dougie Gilmour, obviously wins a cup in Calgary in 89. Moves over to Toronto, and then kind of moves all around. He played on a lot of teams because St. Louis at the beginning of his career, and then Calgary, then Montreal, and New Jersey, and Buffalo at the end of his career, and Toronto again. But those years in Calgary and then to Toronto was prime years. He was a tremendous all-around player. Obviously comes a game within going to the Stanley Cup Finals against the Habs in 93, but not for the Gretzky hat-trick against Felix Poth then.
Yeah.
So... obviously well-deserved. And then you have Joe Nieuwendyk, who, terrific wrist shot, good skater, good face-off guy, could do everything for you. Conn Smythe winner in 99, won three cups with three different teams. The consummate professional, tremendously skilled, responsible. I mean, he's the kind of guy, he's a coach's dream, Drew.
Sure.
Joe Nieuwendyk is a coach's dream. Skates, responsible, can pass, can shoot, can lead a room. I mean, there's nothing that guy couldn't do, and he was no small part in all three of those Stanley Cup victories, whether it be in his prime at Dallas when he won the Conn Smythe,
right,
or at the end or beginning of his careers in New Jersey and Calgary, respectively.
That's right. I mean, really, like you said, consummate professional. Now he's tasked with, you know, I'd say rebuilding the Dallas Stars, but that's probably not the right word, but he's off to a good start there already.
This team has to pick up a guy like Eric Nystrom to get to the salary cap floor.
Yeah.
And look at their record.
Exactly right. So, you know, it's sometimes about the pieces, not necessarily the price tag attached to those pieces. Let's head to commercial break. You're listening to Santa Lucia Pizza Game Day on TSN 1290. ICSEG, missing in action.
It's Santa Lucia Pizza Game Day on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on the official home of the Winnipeg Jets. TSN 1290.
Welcome back to the program. This segment on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show is brought to you by the Cheer Bar and Grill, located in the heart of Osborne Village at Stradbrook and Osborne. Catch all the home team's games on their numerous HD big screens. Be sure to join Illegal Curve Hockey for their weekly appearances at the Cheer Bar and Grill. Hang on.
Oh, can we get breaking news feature here, Timmy? Hold on.
I like that. Breaking news better.
And now, breaking news.
I have received a message from Ezra Ginsberg 1 minute ago. It says, Richie, I slept in. No.
No kidding.
And the next message, should I come now?
Did I get this? I think I may have got the same message as well. No kidding, he slept in. Yeah, well, I actually can't. I can't read what he wrote to me. But anyways, he's alive. We know that much. Tweet Go Jets Go 11 at Illegal Curve at ICSEG is still prettying up for the morning show. He does know it's radio, right? I'm not sure if he knows that. We might see him. We might not. I assume his car is nowhere to be found. Does he know where his car is? Anyways, we were supposed to do six things that we learned this week, but we're not going to do that right now because, frankly, the other guy who learned the six things is not here. Let's talk about the New York Rangers. They're the hottest team in hockey right now. You know, and they're doing this without Mark Stahl.
Yes.
So, you know, we saw the Rangers. We've seen the Rangers twice now. We saw them once here, and we saw them once in Madison Square Garden. Are they a legitimate threat in the Eastern Conference?
I think so, Drew. I've actually been quite surprised they've been able to play so well defensively, considering their lack of depth on the back end. And they're rolling out guys like Stevie Eminger and guys who are really fringe NHL players at best. John Tortorella has them buying into a system. They have very good offensive talent and good balance of speed, skill, toughness. Obviously, the king in net, Henrik Lundqvist. And the unheralded development of players like Ryan McDonagh on the back end have certainly furthered their cause. So this team is for real as far as I'm concerned. And as I said before, they can add a veteran defenseman along with Stahl back in the lineup. Watch out. I actually think Ron Hainsey of the Winnipeg Jets would be a very good fit in New York for the stretch run.
Sure, it's from that area. The Rangers are 10-3-3 on the season, 23 points. They're 8-1-1 in the last 10, and they've won 7 in a row. Can't really beat those numbers.
No, that's impressive.
Yet somehow that only puts them 5th in the Eastern Conference. Granted, we're not supposed to look at standings right now, but the Eastern Conference is really playing at a pretty decent pace for the most part.
Whatever. That's why you don't look at the standings, Drew.
I know. I'm my own worst enemy. What can I say? But, you know, I'm impressed with the Rangers. They impressed me twice when we see them. I mean, the Jets should have won that first game against them.
Yeah, they should have.
But that second game...
They got outplayed.
Well, they got outplayed by a better team.
Yeah.
There's no real shame in getting outplayed by a better team.
Yeah, no, that's true, Drew. And I think another issue then was, I think, the past two games. We're going to get into the Jets in the second 2 hours.
The last 2 hours of today are going to be Jets-centric. So that's why we're talking, about Ezzy so much right now.
The second and third hours, what I meant to say. The Jets are, in all honesty, working a lot harder than they were before, and they're buying into a system that they weren't before. So,
And we'll talk about that. And I mean, it's been the best week so far in Winnipeg Jets land, but we'll talk about that. Chris Stewart of the St. Louis Blues, we talked about him last week, said he was off to a slow start when we were talking to Darren Pang.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's suspended for 3 games, so that's not going to improve his start at all.
That was a dirty hit.
Just a clean hit from behind, eh?
Just hit from behind. You can't do that. You need to suspend him. That's a good job by Brendan Shanahan. You know, we're going to criticize him for what we think was a missed opportunity with Milan Lucic. This was a correct call. He gave him 3 games, notwithstanding the fact that the Blues are actually unbeaten since Ken Hitchcock's been hired.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, you know, Ken Hitchcock is a coach, definitely, when you hire him, you know he's got a shelf life before his team rebels against him.
Extremely negative.
Yeah.
Extremely to the point. Harps on problems and issues and harps on players, and they grow tired of him. Well, but tactically speaking, there may not be he's just below that Jacques Lemaire class in his hockey knowledge, and Jacques Lemaire's in the kind of a class by himself. So
Well, you know, and maybe that's what St. Louis needed. I mean, for years, we've talked about, oh, they have so much talent. Mm-hmm. When is the year they're going to put it all together and everything else?
That was the commentary this year in our season preview show. I said, you know, at what point do we stop saying this is their year? And I did stop this year. I didn't think they'd make the playoffs. I wasn't that bullish on them last year. 2 years ago, I was. I'm... Ken Hitchcock brings a defensive conscience to the team, Drew, and I think that is, and also, as Darren Pang mentioned on the show last week, is going to see who's real and who's not.
Yeah.
I thought it would work originally. Let's see how it works after the shiny beginning wears off, the novelty wears off, and this team is 10 games into the season. They lose 2 games. Let's see how they react when Ken Hitchcock rips them in the locker room. Right now, it's a honeymoon period, and he is the guy for a quick turnaround, as you mentioned. And St. Louis needs that. The interest in that city.
There's a correlation between, in most cities, you know, there's a correlation between winning and interest.
It's a good sports town, too.
Yeah, it is definitely a good sports town. I mean, you know, and there's nothing else going on in St. Louis. The Rams aren't anything this year.
And that's right. And that's another thing about St. Louis is good hockey fans, especially they don't have a basketball team, so they always are at, you know.
Yeah, nobody's got a basketball team this year.
Right, but I'm saying they do.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It certainly should be a good winter market for them. Yes. In terms of defensive-minded, they've given up their top five in goals against this year. They've only given up 40 goals in 18 games. So, you know, just a little bit over 2 goals a game. And that's even without, for the most part, Hitchcock's defensive style being there. So that's only probably going to get better. So, I mean, this is a guy who knows how to coach. If there's one thing you can say about Ken Hitchcock is that he certainly knows how to coach and he knows how to get the most out of a team. Shelf life.
And strategically, too.
Yeah. That's why he was, when he got fired from from the Stars in, was that 02?
I remember what year that was.
Yeah, I think it was 02 because they was it 2002? Because then he was able to go scout for Team Canada ahead of the Salt Lake City Olympics.
Well, do you remember his reaction when Canada got scored on by Parise in the finals of the Olympics in 2010?
I'm pretty sure we weren't able to repeat it on air.
Yeah, and the word on him is he takes losses as hard as anyone.
Well, you know, he's passionate.
He is, and he's an interesting character, Drew, and it's good to have him in the game. And boy, that guy can work the media. Ooh, yeah. Can he work the media?
Well, that's good. I mean, you know, that's part of a coach's job is to be, you know, the media's got a role to play.
Claude Noel's great.
Claude Noel, when he sits down with those fireside chats, I mean, first of all, Claude is so dry that he's tremendously entertaining.
Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate his press conferences because of the way he just speaks very well and he's verbose and he's open, but sometimes when he needs to get his point across, he's not shy about doing it. You know,
certainly not.
And he'll give you that disdain when you ask a question that he doesn't like. You know, he'll look down at you from the podium there and give you that sort of disdainful like, you get paid to ask that question. if I got paid to ask that, nobody would pay me to ask that question. They pay you to ask that question.
And don't think that a coach's ability to work with the media and not against the media doesn't contribute to their shelf life.
Well, it's interesting. You know, Aaron Portsline, a guy that we have on the show from the Columbus Dispatch, isn't the, you know, doesn't speak with effusive praise about Scott Arneil. And I heard somebody making the point, you know, Portsline is really the only guy who covers that team day in, day out.
And he does a great job.
And does a fabulous job about it. And so if, you know, as part of Arneil's job, it really should be maintaining a decent relationship with that guy so that they can sort of work together to steer the ship in a positive manner. Not saying that Aaron is going to fall for whatever they say, hook, line, and sinker by any stretch. But, you know, they should build a good relationship so that they can be, as soon as that relationship is poisonous, but the only guy who buys ink by the boatload, that's a problem. You know,
it is a problem.
Never pick an argument with a guy who buys ink by the barrel is the old saying. You know, I buy corned beef by the barrel. You know, you never get into a food eating competition with me. That sort of thing.
We have another message.
We have another message? Okay. Is it PG? Can we read it on air?
Received 7 minutes ago. Tim, can I get some tunes here? Received 7 minutes ago. Should I come or no? Received 6 minutes ago. I'm on my way.
When he shows up, is he wearing pants?
Well, he's going to look amazing. He's going to have those tired eyes. He's going to be wearing a toque. He's going to be wearing a hoodie.
Sweatpants. I'm voting for a green apple hoodie.
A green apple hoodie.
Green or blue? He's only got two hoodies. It's either green or navy.
The green apple hoodie, the IC toque, Do you think sweatpants or jeans?
Black sweatpants, undoubtedly. And those gray shoes with the yellow laces.
Yeah, and
boater shoes, whatever they're called. Undoubtedly. And he might wear that to the game afterwards also. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't change. You're listening to Santa Lucia Pizza Game Day on TSN 1290. At ICSEG is on his way down. We'll let him into the studio.